Welcome to Yak Babies, the only podcast on the internet sponsored by VS Naipaul's BioDivorce. Ah, fuck.
3, 2, 1.
How do you say that? VS Naipaul's BioDivorce Attorney. It's a tongue twister for sure.
They just dropped us.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
The Yak Babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, the only podcast on the internet sponsored by VS Naipaul's BioDivorce Attorney. My name's Aaron. I'm here with Dave.
Good job.
Thank you. Oh, that was your yeah. Was your greeting. Brick.
What's the attorney's name?
BioDivorce.
Oh, boy.
Your ad lib skills need some
big,
work.
Big ham hand.
Good job.
Sniffer and sniffer.
Little sniffs and big ham hand.
Sniffer and ham attorneys at law.
It's a law firm of sniffs and ham hand. We've also got Nico here. Nico, say hi.
Hello.
Now, our topic this occasion is, do you read books simultaneously? I often do this. I feel like I'm constantly in the process of, actually right now, I want to say possibly 4 or 5 books I am currently quote-unquote reading with varying degrees of severity or sincerity with the rest of you. And if you do that, does it mess with your reading schedule or your ability to comprehend books? And if not, then how are you so special?
You said doo-doo.
Oh, yeah. This has been a doo-doo recording session for sure.
Yeah, it's the second time.
Get ready for more.
Why do you? What does it do for you? And what kinds of books can you read?
Like anything. Or like, yeah, there's no uniformity. So I just finished The Friend by Sigrid Nunez. I'm also reading currently the third volume of this biography of Orson Welles by Simon Callow that came out recently, or maybe a couple years ago, that I finally cracked a couple weeks back. I'm also reading comic series, a miniseries, or a maxi series called The Vision by Tom King and the artist, I can't remember his name right now, unfortunately. Nonfiction, one of the 33rd books about a band called the Young Marble Giants. Like, there's like several. I think I have a little bit of fidgetiness post smartphone adoption where I skip over to different texts more often than I used to, for sure.
Yeah.
It's not by choice. It's not a good thing, I don't think, necessarily. It just tends to happen a lot.
Yeah.
I can go ahead.
No, please.
I'll be reading 2 books at once, 1 nonfiction and 1 fiction. I cannot read 2 novels at the same time.
Yeah.
However, there have been times where I'll be reading anywhere from 6 up to 12 different story collections at once and just kind of bouncing around. Mm-hmm. But to me, that's a lot different than trying to read 2 novels at once.
Yeah, or even just like a long form text of any kind, right?
Right, sure.
Yeah. Story collections, you can sort of weave in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anything beyond that, I start to get into trouble.
Right.
And there's no, like, if I tried to read 3 books at one time, there's 1, if not 2 or 3, that I would end up dropping entirely.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
What? And probably never coming back.
What? Why do you think that is, Dave?
Well, that's a good question. I'll think about that, and then you can ask me later.
I end up reading lots of books at the same time. It's pretty regular. I'd say that I get up to 6, 7 books going.
Yeah.
And that's too many.
Yes.
My tipping point tends to be 3. If I start a 4th, 5th, or 6th book, the odds of me not finishing some of those books goes up pretty drastically, I think.
Yeah.
But I still do it. And I think it might be part of the ADD, post-smartphone lifestyle.
Yeah.
I find that and I don't know if you guys do this too, I tend to have different books for different parts of the house.
Interesting.
Like, I'll have a book by my bed that I'll read if I'm reading in bed, and I'll have a book by the couch that I'll read if I'm on the couch, and then I got a book downstairs for when I go in the backyard. And I tend to, you know, once in a while, if I really get into a book, I'll drag it around with me, and that's just the book I'm reading until it's done.
Yeah.
But more often than not, I'll leave the different books I'm reading in the different places, and if I'm in that place when I feel like reading, that's the book that I'll pick at.
Right.
Do you have one in your office too at work?
Yeah, but I very rarely have the opportunity. I keep one in my backpack, but
toilet?
No, my backpack is just a backpack.
Oh, you don't carry a toilet around with you?
No.
You should. Yeah, you should.
However, backpack toilet.
Do you have a? Well, he does have a thesaurus in his bathroom, though.
I smell a sponsor.
So he brings all the words from his various books that he wants to look up into
right. Really focus in the moment. Yeah.
Yeah, and I do the same thing with TV shows and video games, where 3 seems to be pretty close to the magic number.
Right.
That if I stick to those, I will finish them. And then if I start adding to that, then I will drop something eventually. Not on purpose. I'll still kind of like slowly pick at it once in a while. But once the focus starts to get lost. And I try to not do that.
Right.
I found keeping the reading journal has really helped with books that One, if I do drift, I can get an idea of at least a little bit of what I was thinking when I last read it.
Mm-hmm.
But two, as we've talked about my completionist tendencies, once I write that I started a book down, I really don't want to not have that page finished.
Right, right.
So it's helped me.
That makes sense.
And I do the same with games. I'm not insane enough to track the TV shows I watch. But
right. Nico, what about you? I imagine, since you listen to a lot of audiobooks, you are probably a one-timer or you're a monogamous reader. Is that the case?
Well, I usually have a real book going and an audiobook going at the very least.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I've had a book going for a year called Gardens of the Moon, which is a fucking ass-kicker of a fantasy book that a couple of friends recommended and swear by. They swear that this is the greatest fantasy series of all time. And I've had...
Yeah.
And so I've been reading this book at the pace of literally 3 pages a day for a year.
Wow.
And then I'll read like book club books or other books. And then I usually have a different book that I'm listening to.
Does that ever interfere? Are you able to separate those pretty easily? Or do you ever get like mixed up or just distracted with your sort of cross-cutting between media?
I think I'd probably get distracted a little bit, but I think it's kind of just kind of by necessity almost. Like, I mean, and right. Also it depends on the quality of the book. Like if I'm reading, say I'm listening to an audiobook that I don't really like, and so I tend, like if I'm driving somewhere, I don't put it on, and instead I put on like a podcast or something, then that book will probably, like, I probably won't finish it. But if I listen to one that I want to listen to every second that I have like a chance to be listening to something, then that's different. And then I'm not going to get that confused with anything else. But one of the reasons I'm interested, like, in what Dave was saying, like how he has a kind of a hard limit, is because of like everything else. Like all the other media, like it seems like in the post The Wire TV world, like every single TV show has a through line that you have to keep track of, you know? So it's like every, like the number of shows that you have to watch from beginning to end versus like one episode at a time and every episode is interchangeable. That's dramatically shifted in our lifetimes for sure. And so, like, then if you add in those things, you know, like, then I have, like, a TV show that I'm watching with my wife, a TV show that I'm watching by myself, you know, a TV show that that I watch when I want to zone out, a TV show that requires a lot of attention, you know, and, like, and the same thing with, like, video games and, like, movie series and, like, everything else. So that's...
Right.
I think it just is almost necessarily fragmented these days because there's so much stuff too. So it's, I don't know. It seems like that's got to be just kind of a skill that we're all kind of almost passively learning because there's no other way to do it really. Like, you know.
Yeah, but I also think that's why people binge watch, right? Is because they want to just get through it. Maybe, I don't know, it's not always the intention, but there's, if you watch a whole show in 2 or 3 days, you don't have to worry about trying to keep track of the narrative because you did it all, right? Thinking about comics, I guess, you know, if when I elaborate to serialized mediums or fiction, I'm constantly reading like 30 different novels because I'm reading like 30 different comic series at once, basically.
Right.
And they come out in installments of once a month. Sometimes I get lost really easily and I'm like, what's happened? I have no idea what the last issue was even last month.
Right.
And you go back and track it down or like read a synopsis real quick so I kind of up to speed. When I was a kid, it was a lot easier. So I think part of it is getting older. I just like have less space in my brain for keeping track of these story arcs.
Right.
But I do think, there's something about sort of like gaining a serialized literacy where you learn to accept or get used to bits of story at a time and pacing and prioritize that over completion, I guess. But yeah, I'm like you in that I start to feel if I have too many books on the burners or whatever, I know that at some point one's going to start to fall off and I'm never going to come back to it probably. Mm-hmm. And there are several books I can think of right now that the Golden Temple one is one, for instance, by Mishima that I read 3/4 of and just never finished, and it's lingering there forever. No one,
because another book grabbed your attention.
Yeah, well, yeah, something else happened.
Yeah, but you were liking that book.
Yeah, it was. Finding it a hard read, I think, in certain times, but I was enjoying it, but just it slipped off. It slipped to the back, and then it slipped further and further.
Yeah, and now you don't want to have to restart and get another 3/4 of the way through again before getting back to where you were. Yeah,
yeah, and I don't if that book for sure, I would not know enough to pick it back up. I got another book by another Japanese writer, unfortunately, called Volcano, that I also really enjoyed. Stopped reading about 3/4 of the way through. I kind of remember where I was. I knew what was going on. I could pick it up probably tomorrow and catch up within a reasonable amount of time, but it wouldn't be the same experience.
Back into the volcano.
Yeah, and get on top of it. Philip Roth at some point said, if you take longer than 2 weeks to read a book, you haven't really read it. And maybe he even said 1 week or something like that.
If you take longer than?
Yeah. If it takes you longer than 2 weeks to read a book, you can't be said to have actually read it. If you don't read it in that short amount of time, like really give yourself over to it, like you're not reading. Which is maybe a bit strict or absolutist on his part. Absolutist is probably the word I'm looking for, not absolutist. I don't think he's wrong. That kind of makes sense. And there are certain books that I definitely read over a series of several months or even years where I finished it and I was like, I didn't read this. I said I did for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the books that really stick with you, or at least with me, are the ones that, you know, I might kind of pick at them to start, and then by the time I hit the halfway point, I need to sit down in an afternoon and just read the second half of the book.
Yeah.
And that's it's sort of either, I'm much more likely to absorb the book and really get something out of it if I do that. And if I just keep chipping at it all the way, then yeah, you got to the end. And it also depends on what you're reading. You know, I think it's a lot easier if you're reading, you know, like a sci-fi book or something that's really just plot. It's a little different than something maybe headier.
Yeah, if I'd stopped reading on their Volcano halfway through and came back to it 4 months later, I would have been utterly lost. Like, it would have ruined it.
Right.
Yeah.
I've long had the urge to find a 365-page book and read one page a day and see what that does as just like an experiment. Fiction. Like, see how, or if at all, I can track the story and like what that experience is like.
What if every page was one day of a year and it was 365 characters and all their perspectives?
Fast forward. We'll bleep that out.
Jesus. Do you think it's also part of it, this habit of ours maybe, or our tendency sometimes, is tied to the desire to read books versus the time to actually read those books, right? Like, we're interested, invested readers, obviously. We're talking about books on a podcast and have been for years now, but the time to read all the books we want to read is very limited. And so reading 3 books at once is like, I'm getting a lot done. I'm reading all these books, but you're not really always reading them.
I have time to read books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
I don't always use the time for that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's not a time issue for me.
Right.
We have talked about, though, on previous episodes, how, you know, I feel like my shrinking lifespan does influence, not just with nostalgia like we talked about before, but my reading in certain ways. Like, if I believe I only have like X amount of books left in my life to read,
right,
then that makes there's some more anxiety maybe that goes into my choices.
You want to count.
Maybe when I was younger. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. No more early works for you.
Well, I mean, I'm kind of reading one right now. So
seeing.
Wow, you're that down on it?
No, we'll save it.
I think also, like, if you are reading like multiple books at the same time, then it kind of becomes a natural selection process where the book that you read the least is the book. It tends to be, for me, the book that I like the least, and then like if it falls off, like, it's not going to be a book that I love that falls off. Like, that doesn't happen. It's always the book that feel like I should read. I feel like I should finish it.
To me sometime. Yeah.
What's that?
Like, Aaron, with the two Japanese books you were talking about, do you feel like if you had been reading them by themselves, you would have finished them? Do you feel like they were worthy of finishing?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
They're both very, very good. And other factors influence the dropping of those books besides quality.
Huh.
I was going to say, it's like tied to Nigo's point, too, that sometimes other factors push you to finish a book, right? Beyond just interest. So for instance, the Friend, I read that in a week and I've been working on the first chapter of that Orson Welles biography for 2, right? Mm. So I sped through this. I wouldn't have chosen to read it off the shelf, and it wasn't on my list until we decided to read it together.
Possibly after, you know, 20 or so pages, you may have dropped it and gone back to the Orson Welles.
Yeah, if I had read that just in the library.
If you didn't have to finish it.
Right. So like, not that it's pressure in a bad way, but like social pressure or whatever, like, will push you to read a book to finish it in different ways. It's like having a deadline for a class,
podcast,
right?
Podcast pressure.
Yeah, totally.
Right.
Podcast pressure. So the pressure podcast. Well, listeners, let us know what you're reading right now. How many books are on your burners? Too many? Not enough? Do you want some more? I have some you can read. That's great. Find us on Twitter at YakBabies. Email us at yakbabiespodcast@gmail.com. You jinxed me. I had it down and I lost it.
Find us at
Best of
backpacktoilets.com.
Find us at Pressure Podcast. Patreon.com/YakBabies is where the action happens. You get, for $1 a month, you get all of our episodes and the Ranger Fiend plus all of our bonus episodes. There's tons of stuff going on behind the scenes that you don't hear about if you just listen to the free feed because, well, it's not fit for public consumption, really. But we're willing to let you listen to it if you give us a dollar. So do that. There's so much fun happening there. Enjoy more Yak Babies. And until then, Yak Babies yakking off.
The Yak Babies would like to send an extra thank you to everyone who listens regularly, and especially to those who have supported on Patreon, past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, and William Howard Taft.